just film for fun. If you give us 2 minutes, we'll give you something to think about. If you give us 2 minutes, we'll give you something to think about.
Steven Spielberg has obviously been a pretty decent filmmaker in his day. And here he follows along sort of, I guess, the spiritual equivalent of what was Tintin, the sort of mixed animated film that he did a couple years ago that harkens to a different sort of child's movie, that is to say, a well-educated and decidedly British sort of type of kid's movie. It hasn't done well at the box office, and it's not a surprise, but it is a good movie. For people who remember reading Roald Dahl's classic, which I don't remember this Roald Dahl classic, I guess the phrase Roald Dahl's classic kind of becomes a little bit repetitive, because Roald Dahl only writes classics. He's sort of like Christopher Walken's character from the Saturday Night Live sketch, which is that he puts his pants on one leg at a time. The only difference is once his pants are on, he makes gold records. In this case, Roald Dahl writes one word at a time. The only difference is when he's done writing those words, he writes children's classics. And this movie, fairly strange movie about a giant who sees a kid looking at him from an orphanage, and then a Charles Dickensian type of imagined, kind of a combination of a Charles Dickens orphanage and the Lilliputians of Gulliver's Travels. So we see this orphan, and as in most children's movies of recent years, the main character is a female protagonist, which shows a well-founded knowledge of its target audience, which is to say the underrepresented female child who has historically not been given a narrative, heroic narrative, and in recent years, beginning with primarily most of the Pixar and a large percentage of the non sort of turn of the century British stories, of which actually this is a exception. So anyway, we have a couple of the elements in place. We have a lot of computer graphics and animation, and then we have a live-action young sort of woman in a nondescript time in her life. She's some age group between 5 and 15, without a whiff of womanhood or female sexuality brewing in any way, almost uncomfortably amorphous. So in the sense, the movie stays safely away from children's sexuality, which is always an uncomfortable thing to depict in storytelling, and not always necessary anyway, but it turns to the Victorian age, pre-Freudian view of children as beings devoid of any hormonal or any motivations that aren't related to parents. So here, the idea is there is a bunch of people being eaten by giants, children being eaten by giants. So the idea of someone stealing the children, which is one of the deep mythological fears of society, because of course that all societies that would disappear without the children continuing them. So the idea of the Pied Piper, or someone taking the children and sort of thus destroying the society infrastructure first, is a common fear, particularly from societies like England, who were isolated and an island and depended on a large part to exploiting the resources of non-island states, and thus used imperialism to grow their non-child base. But anyway, the giants in this can be seen as a metaphor for British imperialism, and the destruction of the giants can be seen as roughly some sort of 4th of July firework, a blast-off. And Spielberg actually probably would have done better off just making it all live-action or all animation, because in that in-between stage, nobody's very comfortable, and that's why people don't make movies like animated movies like that very much, and probably Spielberg would have done wise to have learned from his contemporary Zemeckis, that after the Polar Express, people have become decidedly uncomfortable with that sort of where does my body end and where does the table begin fear that comes from looking at kind of animation and kind of not. And that's why this movie possibly is not being received as well as it could be for a movie that is as quality as it is.